Now please turn in your hymnal to 799 and we will recite Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our forebears have told us. We will not hide them from our children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord, the might and wonders God has wrought. The Ephraimites, armed with the bow, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant, but refused to walk according to God's law. They forgot the deeds of the Lord, the miracles that God had shown them. The Lord wrought marvels in the sight of their forebears in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Soan. The Lord divided the sea and let them pass through it and made the water stand like a heap. Led them with a cloud in the daytime and all the night with the fiery light. Cleft rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. Made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. Yet they sinned still more against God, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness?" Indeed, God struck the rock so that the water gushed out and streams overflowed. Can God also give bread or provide meat for the people? They did not believe in his wonders, so God made their days like a breath, turned their years into terror. Whenever God slew them, they would inquire after God, repent, and seek God earnestly. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer, whom they flattered with their mouths, to whom they lied with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast toward God. They were not true to God's covenant. Yet God, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them.
Our scripture lesson from the Old Testament is found on page 61 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. Exodus 17, 1-7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
If you look at the front of your bulletin, that's an image of an artist trying to capture that moment when Moses struck the rock and brought water forth. Let us turn to the epistle from the letter of Paul to the church at Philippi, Philippians 2, verses 1 through 13. You can find this in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 186. hear these words that Paul spoke to the Philippians, but also perhaps more appropriately today to us as well. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So let us turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 21, verse 23 through 32. You can find it in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 22. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as the prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." He answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Peggy's so wonderful. I asked her to play music and she thought I meant right then, but not quite. Thank you. This week, as I've been thinking about these scripture passages, one line from Paul's letter to the Philippians that I read earlier, it stuck in my head. And that's the line, God is at work in you. God is at work in you. I want you to consider the implications of that idea. What does it mean for you as an individual Christian? And what does it mean for all of us collectively as the church that God is at work within us? If you are like many people, if you're anything like me, you sometimes hear a song and it gets stuck in your head for an hour, for a day, maybe for a week. Have you ever had that experience of a song getting stuck in your head? Yeah, me too. In fact, last Sunday when we sang hymn number 130, God Will Take Care of You, the hymn that Peggy just played, all week that song stuck in my head. But instead of the words, God will take care of you, my mind has been singing, God is at work in you. And so, now with the help of Peggy and Don in the choir, I'm going to ask everybody to get out your hymnal again and turn to 130. And what you'll find there at number 130 is God will take care of you. What we're going to do is simply sing the first verse. But every time the songbook says God will take care of you, I want you to sing God is at work in you. Are you with me? And I'm not even going to make you stand up. Peggy. I've been successful in messing with your head a bit. You will now have this hymn and those words in your mind for a while, maybe even a long while. Listen for it. God is at work in you. Well, as you probably could have predicted, my point is not to be some kind of pop psychologist, but rather, if I was successful, that is a graphic illustration of exactly what this idea means for your life of faith and salvation. Let me explain. God is at work in you. When Paul spoke to these words to the people of the churches of Philippi, he offered them a critically important piece of advice. He said, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." The same mind. By this he meant that each of us ought to try to think in the same way that Jesus thought, to see everyday life with the same ideals and the same worldview that Jesus had, to try to live a life that anticipates the kingdom of God just as Jesus lived his life. Just as that line can continue to play in your head with that music, God is at work in you. What would it be like if you kept continually repeating to yourself, always reminding yourself, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus? Live as Jesus lives. Love as Jesus loves. God is at work in you. when you boil it down, a lot of what preachers do in sermons is to try to help people to get a better understanding of the nature of God. We often use metaphors and similes to try to make those connections for people. And I'll admit freely that even though I try to be gender neutral and I try to find metaphors and similes that resonate with all people, I think that I often stray more toward male references. That's my bias. That's who I am. And I apologize. But today I may clearly run the risk of going too far the other direction, because I want you to think about the experience of a woman who is pregnant. Now, obviously, I'm in the same boat as every man in this room. We cannot understand what it's like to be pregnant. And I don't presume to know what it is to carry a baby inside me. But I can imagine, based upon many conversations with pregnant women. Anyway, try on this simile. As a new believer in Jesus, or as a veteran Christian, a person can have the experience of feeling the Holy Spirit at work in his or her life. I would hazard a guess that recognizing that God is at work within you is a bit like the feeling of being pregnant. There is a dawning realization that there is a new life growing in your womb, just as there is new life growing through your faith. Sometimes there is pain in this new life, morning sickness in the beginning, then discomfort as the baby grows and pushes your body in unusual ways. Am I right? Just like when the Holy Spirit is moving within us and we begin to live a new life in Christ, there is pain as we are convicted of our sins and as we understand that some of what we've always done may well be in contradiction to the will of God. It doesn't always feel familiar or the way we thought it ought to feel. It's a new and exciting and life-changing experience, but it can also be uncomfortable and sometimes difficult. God is at work in you. Think about the implications of this to our collective life as a congregation of faith. God is at work in you, plural, as a church, the body of Christ. I think that's like an aspen grove. You know the quaking aspen that we have around here, Populus tremuloides? Have you seen the tree? Yeah, of course you have. Have you ever considered how a grove of aspen trees got to be that way? An aspen grove is mostly not a collection of individual trees, but rather a community of fully connected shoots. Aspen trees can reproduce clonally. They can clone themselves, which means that the tree sends out suckers from the roots, and then another tree grows up from that sucker. I looked it up on the internet, and they had an interesting point. Most suckers develop in fairly close proximity to the parent stem. The majority of those suckers go out 25 feet, but some of them can grow out 80 to 100 feet or more. Now, how many of you have aspens in your yard or in your property? Do you know what I'm talking about? We have an aspen little grove in our front yard, and as Jane says every spring, well, if we don't like where that tree is, don't worry about it. You cut it off, and next year you get 6 or 8 more. Well, I believe that the church is just like an aspen grove with Jesus as the parent tree. When you claim your identity as a Christian and as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, you become like a sucker from the parent tree. God calls each of us to go out into the world beyond the confines of the church in order to spread the good news of the gospel and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. God calls us to feed the hungry, to visit those in prison and in hospitals, to help the homeless, to share the love of God in real and tangible ways. so that Jesus sends us out as suckers into the fertile soil surrounding the church, into the neighborhoods and communities around us. Our sustenance comes from returning each week to the church to get reinvigorated with the nutrients of Bible readings and music and fellowship. We send our roots downwards and we grow upwards toward heaven, but we are always connected to each other and to Christ. You who are the church of Jesus, God is at work in you. Let me ask you one final time. Turn to 130. Let us sing the first stanza. And as you do, we'll sing, God is at work in you. Indeed. Amen.